Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Larry Pape. He's with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, and he is the man in the know when it comes to the family fishing programs. How are you this morning, Larry?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Doing very well. Thank you.
Did I get anywhere close to your real title?
I think you were very generous. You were very generous. I'm an aquatic education specialist, and my job is effectively to help people learn how to enjoy the outdoors through fishing. And we do that through myself and programs we have, as well as volunteers across the state. And you were right on. Thank you.
Very well. You deserve it. Good. You're a good guy. That's why you're on the show.
Yeah, you're very generous. Thank you.
Now, when talking about fishing, and particularly kid fishing, why is that important? Why do we have programs for that?
The ultimate reason is that, you know, if we keep people involved in outdoor activities, and that's the thing that pays and generates the interest and, you know, keeps support for outdoor activities. Fishing pays for fishing, hunting pays for hunting. And so ultimately, that's the final answer. But in a bigger picture, you know, it's just a healthy activity, and fishing and hunting and outdoor activities lead to healthy people, and teaching kids how to fish just makes for a better community and better for society, and, you know, allows us to generate the resources to do that and have beautiful parks and lakes, you know, if we have interest in those. So it's the big picture is it's all about society and creating a better environment and people in it.
Wow, that was pretty deep and philosophical.
Well, I mean, that, you know, and
I'm teasing you.
that's the 10,000-foot view, and just watching kids have fun is the other part of it. It's important, you know, and families together. Spending time together and do that family bonding and fishing and on outdoor activities were very much about that.
And you're absolutely right. Watching the kids have fun, watching that light bulb go off when they realize, I can do this. That's worth your time out there. I have so much fun just going along with that one.
When we have our programs for family fishing, you know, we do these nights across the state, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But, you know, just that is, I tell the volunteers and people that come out to help, if you can have any kind of day you want, but I guarantee that you come to one of these in the evening and you will know why you volunteered and why I do my job. It's just, they're very special.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I'm helping out as one of the volunteers in these type of events, I don't know who's having more fun, me or the people involved in it. Back to kids for a second, particularly kids, but these programs also outreach to adults that want to learn how to fish too, which I think is great. What do you recommend for gear? What kind of rod and reel would be a good setup for a beginner?
Spin casting rod and reel, and you know the standard old brand is a Zebco, but of course there's plenty of different brands about that. But it looks like a little coffee grinder, and it just turn the crank, and it reels the line in. You push the button to release the line. They're very simple, they're very effective, and they're fine little machines. And keep it simple. You know, there's other types of rods and reels, and they just get more complicated. And as you gain experience, you can move to those. But beginning, you know, just simply do the simple, it's called spin casting, rod and reel combination. And it doesn't have to be expensive, and it doesn't have to be fancy, just manageable, both in price and size.
So, my oldest boy, when he was about 3.5, 4, I got him his first fishing rod. It was a purpose-built kid fishing rod made by Fisher Price, and it had the spin cast type reel on it. There were no external line. It ran up through the center of the rod. The rod tube was hollow, and it extended out. It had the sensitivity of a piece of rebar, but he could fish with it, and he had fun up until the day we lost it. And he had set it down, and we weren't keeping a close enough eye on it. And all of a sudden, it snapped around, pointing toward the lake, and then it took off. And we watched a trail of bubbles going across the lake like a torpedo was under the surface. Something had hit his bait and took it. He was devastated. So,
yeah, you know, those little rods and reels, they're definitely, and that's a big part of fishing is memory, you know, the memories that we create. And, you know, he has memories of that. He also learned a life lesson there. Don't leave them unattended.
Yeah.
I've done the same thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
But those little rods and reels like that, you know, don't laugh at them. I've seen big fish caught on them. And, you know, what's especially nice about them is their colors, their, you know, whatever theme they are, Spider-Man or whatever. Engage yeah. the kids and get them engaged in it.
Exactly.
You know, and as we get older, something else engages us. But, you know, that's important. They may look silly, but that's not. It's very serious, and it's very good for kids. So,
what other kind of accessories, like types of hooks, bobbers, lures, what would you recommend to get started?
Keep it simple. I wouldn't recommend for anybody under about 10 years old any lures. Just a package of hooks, some weights, some split shot weights, and small bobbers. Keep it simple. Keep it small. You know, bobbers shouldn't be any larger than a ping pong would be a ball would be a big bobber.
Right.
And so anything smaller than that, and hooks with a gap about as wide as your little fingernail would be plenty. Anything bigger, it's really not necessary, and you're eliminating some fish. And so those three things, and then some weights to kind of help control the line. Just keep it simple, and you can move the lures and all sorts of other fancy stuff as you get older. But just, you know, going out with the simple gear is the important part. Keep it simple, not complicated.
The old KISS principle. Yes.
You
nailed two of them that I always see when I'm out, and I'll see, usually it's a single parent situation and the kid wants to go fishing, they're trying to do it, and I get over there and they'll tell me, they say, the fish are nibbling, but we can't get any caught, they won't get on the hook. So I have them reel in, I take a look at the hook, and they've got something that it probably is rated for salt water. Just shark hook they're going after bluegill with. And I explain that, you know, you got to have a hook the size that can get in the fish's mouth. And we'll get them tied on with the right thing, and the kid will start catching fish and having a ball. And then the other one you mentioned, the bobber. When I'm doing my seminars, I talk about bobbers and how to match them to the fish like you were talking about. And I tell them, I said, you know, those great big round bobbers, I said, yeah, they're easy to see, but two things. Number one, highly resistant to go underwater. The fish can feel that, and a lot of times they'll turn loose. And I'll tell them, if you want to experience that, go get a beach ball and try to push it underwater and see how much energy that takes, and then do a pool noodle and see how it does. I said, you know, I love the little pencil bobbers because they have about the minimum amount of resistance when the fish is trying to pull it under, and they won't get spooked off by it.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely, Rick. And, you know, we see these beginner kits. They come out often with these giant bobbers. The other thing that annoys me, and I think you might agree, is like swivels and snaps and all sorts of stuff like that. And they're just not necessary. You know, learn to tie a good knot, and which is part of the skill set we need for fishing anyway. And, you know, leave all the fancy stuff at home. And, you know, swivels and big hooks and things just actually lower the catch rate. And so you're not having the success that rewards you, for, you know, and especially kids who need that return. And so, yeah, keep it simple, keep it small.
I just had a thought, and it's a product I'm going to have to show you the next time you're out here. I had a gentleman on the show here a while back. He has a patent on the only tie-less hook system in the world. You tie a simple overhand knot at the end of your line, and that's the only knot you tie. You pull that into the hook into like a shepherd's crook, loop it around one time, pull it back through to cinch it in, and you're ready to fish. It takes about 5 seconds, and just about anybody can do it. Even he's even got a lot of people that have some type of disability, dexterity issues with their hands. You know, either they've lost fingers or haven't got the dexterity, can use this hook. Might be something to look at, and that could be a great thing for getting people started out with.
I'm intrigued, and as I get older, I keep, and I don't have my readers with me. It's getting harder and harder to tie on hooks.
That's exactly so how he got into this.
And probably good for us older fellows too. Yeah,
that's exactly how.
Rick, you're gonna have to show me that.
That's exactly how this gentleman got into it. He was in his mid-50s, and the optometrist told him he's going to have cheaters, and he's going, no. He says, I got to figure out how to tie my hook. But and then he developed, you know, the old saying about necessity being the mother of invention. He created this hook, and I'll show you one. So we're going to have to take a quick break, Larry, but when we come back, I got a few more questions for you.
I'll be here with you. Thank you.
Stand by, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Larry Pape this morning, an aquatic education specialist with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission. I think I almost got that right this time, Larry.
You did well.
Got another philosophical question for you. What can kids learn about getting involved in fishing?
You and I learned how to tie knots. You and I learned how to untangle our own line. We learned from that, you know, the unstructured things we did while we were kids, you know, shooting BB guns and stuff, about responsibility of what to shoot and what not to shoot and what works. And, you know, just a lot of life lessons from outdoor activities kids can learn. And it's unstructured activity in most cases, so you're not being told what to do all the time, and you have to make up your own rules, and you can make up your own ideas of what works and what doesn't work. It's just one hunting and fishing, outdoor activities. It's just one big life lesson, and for kids, it's very formative.
Very good.
You know, there's a lot of special needs kids who really take to fishing. And because they can do it on their own terms and feel comfortable about their successes.
That's so true. I've helped out with a number of kids that had special needs, and they just have a blast. it's like there's no amount of money that can pay for that much happiness when they get involved in it like that.
Exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about your programs that you have, that you offer, like you said, across the state. I call them family fishing programs. Is that the official title now, or is that you expanded that?
We have an umbrella of community fishing, and that way it covers a lot of the different activities, such as Carparama that we're going to be doing this weekend and a few others. Family fishing nights are one of my favorite activities under that community fishing umbrella. And those are where, and you've seen these and you've participated, where we show up along at a lake and we have a trailer full of fishing gear, rods and reels and all the tackle and all the information and pamphlets you would ever need. And so we offer that free loaner tackle. And then we have volunteers and staff show up to help people learn at whatever level they want to learn. And then we include bait. I mean, that's simple. We add worms and corn as people need. And we offer those nights across the state and do family fishing nights. And we have really good success. As for instance, last night we had one I was at in Schuyler, Nebraska. And we had 85-plus people show up. And
very
there was
nice.
One in Grand Island last night that some of my staff and volunteers did. But like that one last night in Grand Island, it also offers things not only for families and kids, but we had an additional Discover fly fishing. And there's a lot of interest in fly fishing. And so we had the Cornhusker fly fishers come with us. and they helped teach people how to appreciate and enjoy fly fishing.
Like very nice.
To cast and then showing them fly tying, and then getting down in the water and seeing if they could catch a fish.
Very
we also
nice.
Do that with ice fishing and bow fishing, rod building, fly tying. We have a lot of things under the community fishing umbrella that we will help people learn to appreciate fishing.
Staying with the community fishing programs, that's open to adults as well. And if you have a new adult coming in, are the same type of recommendations for fishing gear, like we talked about earlier, can kind of apply to adults as well?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Perfect, yes. Don't change it up. You may want to scale up a little larger rod or something, but no, what works for a kid works for an adult. And so keep it simple and, leave the advanced gear for, some time from now after you've kind of acquired the skills of where to go and how to catch your basic fish. And so.
Okay. We got about 6 minutes left, and I want to make sure we get a chance to talk about an event you're going to have out here tomorrow at Lake Maloney called Carparama. Tell us what it is, when, where, the costs associated with it, that type of stuff. Take it away, Larry.
Oh, Carparama, one of my fun events for the year. We used to have two. Now we're down to one, and it's at Lake Maloney. It'll be this Saturday at Lake Maloney, just north or south of North Platte. And we'll be on the east side of the lake near the boat ramp area. So, go in on that east end and you'll see us. There'll be a big crowd of us. And Carparama, what we are doing is using carp as a teaching method, as a point of departure to teach people how to fish. And what we've done is we've pre-baited the area with corn, which carp absolutely love, and that'll get the fish in there and attract it into that area. And then we're going to help you catch them. And not only are we going to help you catch them, and we have really good catch rates there, but we're going to show you how to clean them, and we're going to show you how to cook them, and we're going to do the cooking, and then we're going to have them there for you to taste test. And other activities included will be some Dutch oven cooking, and then also fish printing, and that's where we make images of the fish you catch. And you're going to have to come and discover that and see what we're talking about for the details. It's pretty exciting and pretty fun stuff. But it's all about that whole fun activity of a fishing event. So we bring your family, and we've got something for everybody during that event. Now, with respect to cost, anybody 16 or older will need a fishing permit to actively fish. But if you come to help your kids, you can help them without having a permit as long as they're under 16. And anybody driving a vehicle into that area, all vehicles will need a park sticker, which can be purchased right there at the booth, either as a daily or a seasonal on the tomorrow morning. So,
very good. And I've attended most of the ones that you've had out here at Lake Maloney, and it is a riot watching, especially the kids catch a fish. We were talking about it this morning on air in a previous show, and I was saying, you got a kid that maybe weighs 30 pounds, and he hooks up with a 10-pound carp, and I said, everybody's hanging on to the kid to keep him from water skiing behind this thing.
Yep.
Kid is squealing and loving it, and people are laughing and having a good time. It's a great, great way to spend a morning.
Oh, it's a wonderful event. And I'm going to add that, we have loaner tackle for this event, so people can come and they really don't need anything to bring but a smile and an eagerness to learn, because we've got the tackle, we've got the bait, and we've got the people there to help you get started. So if you're an absolute beginner and never seen a fishing pole before, that's fine. We got you covered on this one. And these fish, they will test your skill, because there are some big ones that are caught.
Yes, there are. And as we've alluded to, you're going to be out here for that, going to get out here sometime this afternoon, and we're going to have to get together. We'll try to go fishing.
Oh, I'd love that. just turn on the air conditioner before we get there, please.
It is actually going to be a little cooler today than it has been.
Good.
Saturday's going to be even better, and I'm cooking for 40 people coming through doing a cowboy cookout, and that'll be nice, so I'm not standing over fires when it's 102 degrees out. But what was your last personal fishing trip, Larry?
My last functional fishing trip. I did a trip this spring out in, last fall, out for trout up in the northwest corner of the state, an absolute blast. Chasing different flavors of trout at Chadron State Park and Fort Robb and all the other areas. And encourage, anybody to get out and there's so much opportunity across the state. Literally, there isn't a place in Nebraska where you don't have some opportunity, either in a city carp pond or a stream or somewhere. We're not Minnesota, but we still got a lot of opportunity. I guarantee it.
We do. And back to fly fishing for a second. Most people think you got to go to the mountains and have the mountain stream and stuff, but our fisheries here, what they collectively refer to as warm water fisheries, have some great fly fishing opportunities.
Oh, yeah, and fly fishing is, it's something that you can progress to, and we help teach you. People learn about that. But 99% of the fish I catch are bluegill, bass, and crappie on a fly rod. And, it doesn't have to be that classic idea of a trout. It's a very aesthetic next step fishing. So, and if you need to learn that, we got it. We got you covered.
Well, sir, thank you very much for being on the show this morning, and safe travels on your way out here.
We'll hope to see you this evening. Maybe we can go out and chase a smallmouth or something.
That sounds good. That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.